On tonight's program, we'll talk about what it means to be peaceful. Stay right where you are, because here we go. Hey, welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself at home. You might be able to hear some of the sounds from the outside drift in. It's an unbelievably beautiful day here in New Jersey. It doesn't feel like November, that's for sure, but it was warm out today. I've got the window open. We got a good show today. We're going to talk about what it means to be peaceful. That's going to be coming up later in the program as we look at The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, and we'll have some of his ideas on what it means to be peaceful. Before that, we've got mass readings to go over today. We'll take a look at the mass readings from Monday of the, actually, I'm sorry, it's from Tuesday from the 31st week in ordinary time. We're winding down the church year, 34 weeks in ordinary time. We do 33 weeks that are named, and then we do the 34th Sunday in ordinary time is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So there's 34 Sundays. Believe it or not, we've got 3 weeks left before we begin the Advent season. I know, it's incredible, isn't it? I'll let you know later this week what we'll be doing on the program for Advent. I think you're going to like it. It'll be a combination of the mass readings, and I have some special readings that I'll be sharing with you, but I'll let you know for sure. I'm 99% sure what I'll be doing this year, and I think you're going to like it, so we'll talk about that. This will be our Advent retreat, and you know, I know it's a tough time. It's a tough time to devote to preparing for the Lord's birth, because we've got a lot of things to do. We're busy, but I'll tell you, one of the big mistakes that we make sometimes is that we don't take it seriously, because, and I talked about this on the show last night, because of the fact that Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we think, well, why do we need to prepare? He's already here. But the key is, and this is what we have to remember, we need to prepare to welcome him into our hearts more deeply. And this is an ongoing process. This is not something that you get to a certain point and you don't have to work on it anymore. We want to spend the rest of our lives learning to grow closer, growing closer to Jesus. And Advent is a great time of year to do that because it gives us this opportunity. The church gives us some great readings. The church really helps us to work on growing closer to Christ. So that's what we're going to be doing on this program. And I really hope you'll be able to join me. And in all honesty, it takes 30 minutes a night, right? I mean, I know you're busy. You don't have to go anywhere. You can do it right in your own home, or you can listen to the program however you listen to it. So that is coming up. We'll be beginning that in a few weeks, and I'll keep you posted on that. Quick reminder, tomorrow, 6:35 a.m., EWTN Radio, the Sunrise Morning Show. I would love to have you be a listener of my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. We've been doing this for a few years on the program. And it's a real pleasure to be able to share a Bible verse each week with Matt Swaim, a Bible verse designed to help you to overcome anxiety. Now, later on tomorrow, I'll be taping an episode, a radio episode of Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic. I know Johnette, and I've done her TV show in the past, but I've never done a radio show with her before. I'm going to tape it tomorrow, and I'll let you know when it airs. We're going to talk about overcoming anxiety, which is, you know, my favorite topic. We're going to be talking about that for the full hour, so I'll let you know when that airs. And then this Sunday, I'm headed down to EWTN to film a week of episodes with Johnette. The topic will be, what does God want me to do? We're going to talk about discernment. That'll be for her TV show. And once again, I will let you know when that airs, as well as the Dr. Ray Guarendi show that I taped. That'll be sometime in the spring, the show that I taped with Dr. Ray. Living Right is the TV series that he does on EWTN. We taped that in Cleveland a few weeks ago, and I'll let you know when that airs as well. I got some big news today. I got an email from the monks. You know, my favorite monks at Mystic Monk Coffee, the monks who make the greatest coffee that you will ever taste. Well, guess what is back? That's right. Jingle Bell Java is now orderable, and I ordered myself some today, as well as another flavor. Let me see if I can remember the name of it. I think it was Candy Cane, they call it, but man, I'll tell you what, that sounds really good. And don't worry, I will be debuting it on the show. Let me just make sure I've got my... yes, Candy Cane and Jingle Bell Java are the two flavors that I ordered. And I'll tell you what, we will be sharing them as the beverage du jour on an upcoming program. So stay tuned for that. And you know it's going to be good. Jingle Bell Java, if you like flavored coffee, this is one of the most unique flavors that I've ever had. And they bring it back every Christmas, and I just love it. So Mystic Monk Coffee, if you're interested in getting yourself some great coffee, check it out today. You can visit followingthetruth.com and simply click on the Mystic Monk image, and you can find out more about their great products. And anything you order through the link on my website helps me out financially too. So you're doing me a favor, you're doing the monks a favor, and you're getting yourself some great coffee as well. The beverage du jour today, I'm going to take a sip of it. Very good. It's not Mystic Monk, but yeah, I have my coffee. I'm in a bit of a coffee groove. We're going to go to some other drinks in the near future, but for right now, I'm in a coffee groove. It is 8 o'clock decaf coffee, and I've gone through the story before, and I don't know, you may remember, if you're from the Northeast, there's a grocery store, formerly known as A&P. I think they're still operational somewhere in the New York area, but they were big all over the Northeast. They had a store brand of coffee named 8 o'clock coffee. The coffee is now sold outside of the supermarket, and it's good stuff, but not, again, not Mystic Monk. So that's what I have for my beverage. I hope you've got a beverage handy. I hope you're ready to get started, because I sure am. We're going to pray in a couple of minutes. We're going to ask the Lord to bless us and to be with us for the remainder of the show, and I'm going to ask him to speak through me, because I would rather you get his message than my message. Okay, so we're going to do that in a minute. But before we do, I want to remind you, if you need anything at all, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, sound good? Ready to get started? Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. I'm very grateful to be alive, Lord, and I thank you for the blessings that you continue to shower upon me each and every day of my life. So many times, Lord, we take you for granted. We forget that even breathing is a gift from you, that the very fact that we wake up is a gift, that the fact that we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus, who is your Son, is a gift from you. We thank you for the gift of the sacraments. We thank you for the gift of being able to speak with you at any hour of the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for always thinking of us. Father in heaven, please help us to better live out our lives as your followers. Give us the strength that we need so that we can do the right thing in all cases. Help us to boldly share our faith with others, even at those times when it gets difficult, even when we get met with resistance or opposition. Father, please bless those who are hurting in any way tonight, those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who may be struggling with doubt or despair, those who are battling addiction, anyone who is struggling financially, anyone who is experiencing religious persecution or dealing with an extreme weather condition. Please help them, Father. We give you our own personal needs and intentions as well. And I also give you this show, and I ask you to speak through me this day, to speak the words we need to hear, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now, and we ask for your prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Martin de Porres, whose feast we celebrate today, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you for praying with me. Always feels better when we do that. It's a thrill to be here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And please do me a favor and let your friends know about this podcast. Let them know that it's available for download free of charge, that you can get it through iTunes, through Blog Talk Radio or directly from my website, followingthetruth.com. Please let your friends know about it. That really helps me out. That's the one of the biggest ways that I get listeners, is by letting people know, is by word of mouth, by you telling your friends, hey, come and hang out with this guy Gary. He's got a table with plenty of chairs, right? I always have an extra chair every night, even though I never know how many people are going to come up. I always can pull out an extra chair or two. You know, my only rule is that you bring your own beverage and your own snack. I can't provide for everyone, but I certainly can provide a place at the table so we can chat about the Lord every night. It's a great thing, isn't it, to be able to talk about the Lord? It does me good. I can really feel your presence. I'm not kidding. And I thank you so much for judging this program worthy of your listenership. I don't take it lightly. I really don't. So I'm very grateful for you. Thank you. All right, here we go. Let's talk about these daily mass readings today. We got some good ones. It's Tuesday, November the 3rd, and we just came off of the doubleheader in the past couple days, All Saints Day, followed by All Souls Day, where we really look to the life beyond. You know, this life is temporary. It's passing. It'll be over in the blink of an eye, relatively speaking, and we need to prepare. You're going to hear a lot more of this from the church and her mass readings over the next few weeks, because as we near the end of the liturgical year, the church year, what happens is we get these readings reminding us that our lives are coming to an end. And that's a really good thing, because we want to know that, not so we can get upset, but so that we can be ready, we can be prepared. The last thing we want to do is be caught by surprise, right? So the church wants us to get ready. First reading today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, as it has been for the past few weeks. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 16. Brothers and sisters, we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them. If prophecy, in proportion to the faith. If ministry, in ministering. If one is a teacher, in teaching. If one exhorts, in exhortation. If one contributes, in generosity. If one is over others, with diligence. If one does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be sincere, hate what is evil, hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones, exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Now, here's the thing for us to think about. We, as St. Paul says, are part of the body of Christ. We are all one body. Those of us in the church are members of the mystical body of Christ. And I was writing about this for a book that I'm working on. I was writing about it today, actually. And one of the things that sometimes gets confusing is this concept of this mystical body of Christ. Now, wait a minute. I thought Christ was a person. A person who walked the face of the earth. Well, he was. But this concept of a mystical body, it's mystical. It's mysterious. It's something that is a mystery, right? So we can't fully understand that you and I are part of this invisible body of Christ. So this is why we need to remember it's bigger than just us. Our faith is bigger than us. We are part of this mystical body of Christ. And therefore, we all have a role to play, just as your hand has a role to play in your body, your leg has a role to play, your arm has a role, your eyes have a role. They're all different, but they all help the body to function. Same thing applies to the mystical body of Christ. So we are part of this body, and as a result, what are we called to do? We are called to live in a Christ-like manner. Now, that doesn't always happen. And that's when the body starts to become dysfunctional. If your toe hurts, and it hurts badly enough, it's going to really affect the entire body. And this is the same way it is with us. If we rebel and we don't follow a way of life that would please the Lord, then we are going to affect the entire body of Christ, the entire mystical body of Christ. You don't have to fully understand this in order to appreciate it. It's really one of those things that you just have to take at face value. And know that St. Paul talks about this frequently, the fact that we are part of this mystical body. Therefore, we are called to live in a way that would please the Lord, but we're also gifted with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to live according to the way that the Lord would want us to live. So just keep that in mind. You are part of this great body. You could not be any closer to Christ. As part of his mystical body, you are not just standing next to him, but you're part of him. I know it gets really deep, but again, I really believe this is one of those things that you just have to accept at face value and not fully understand, but accept that, yeah, this is the way it is. I'm part of Christ in a very intimate and close way. Psalm 131 is the responsorial psalm for today. This is one of my favorites, and I've read this on the show before. I speak about it when I give my talks. Listen to this. In you, O Lord, I have found my peace. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Like a weaned child on its mother's lap, so is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. You know, this is one of my favorite psalms, because it talks about the fact that there are times in life that we will ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what's going on? Why are you doing this? Why am I suffering? Why are things happening to me that I can't understand? We're going to ask the Lord, and we still might not understand. And that's where we're called to be childlike, not childish, but childlike. A child trusts his parents, and he accepts certain things without fully understanding them. There are going to be incidents that happen in your life that you won't be able to understand, because quite frankly, they don't make sense. This is when you have that opportunity to trust the Lord and tell him, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And also, feel free to ask him. If you don't understand something that's happening, ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? What's going on? You might get an answer. You might not get an answer. Your answer might be, just trust me. And when the Lord remains silent, that's what he's trying to tell you. In that case, you have the opportunity to put your faith in him. And while you're doing it, here's what you need to do. Ask for his help. Say, Lord, I'm struggling to trust you. If you're struggling, tell him, I'm struggling to trust you, Lord. Can you help me to just trust you? And I have found at those times when I might not understand, but when I turn things over to him and I trust him, it's during those times that I have a great deal of peace. You can find so much peace by learning to trust in the Lord. And that's why I love this psalm so much. I recommend you read this one, especially if you're struggling with some things happening in your life right now. Read this psalm over and really let these words sink in, because they're really good. The gospel today is from Luke 14, verses 15 through 24. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." And he replied to them, or to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one they began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman, and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. The master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and there is still room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedgerows, and make people come in that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner. Now, these are tough words. Remember what I told you about the readings toward the end of the church year. They're going to get tough because the church wants us to remember that our life will come to an end. And our life will come to an end at a time that we do not know. We don't know. We think we know. But we don't know for sure when we will die. Therefore, doesn't it make sense that we should be prepared? And that's the key. That's what this reading is trying to remember us. That's what this reading is trying to remind us of. The fact that we don't know when our time will be up. And if we keep putting off the Lord, and we do, we put him off because we're too busy doing so many different things. We keep putting him off because we're busy doing so many different things that what happens is we forget that he should be our number one priority, right? And that's what we want to make sure of. If we keep making excuses for why we can't pray, for why we can't be nice to other people, for why we can't do what he wants us to do, as St. Paul teaches us to do in the first reading, if we keep making excuses, one day we are going to be in trouble as we stand before the Lord and get judged. Don't put yourself in that position. And this is why Advent is such an important time. As we get close to the Advent season, we want to do what we can to get ready. To get ready to welcome the Lord more closely into our lives. This is how we take care of the problem addressed in this gospel. That's a tough reading. I don't know if you noticed that, but the Lord was really clear with the message. Hey, if you're not going to come to the dinner feast that I'm inviting you to, I'm going to invite other people. Heaven is serious business. We're invited there. Every person who was ever born is invited to live with the Lord in heaven. That's his desire for every human being. Terrorists, criminals, you, me, whoever. They were created to live with the Lord in heaven. If that doesn't happen, it's not his fault. It's our fault. And this is why Advent is a great time. It's not too early to start thinking about that. Make that commitment now. Say, yes, I'm going to be here. We know Gary's going to be here, God willing. Make that commitment. If you are here, give me 30 minutes of your time each night during the Advent season. I know you're busy, but really, what's more important? Preparing to welcome Christ into your heart or preparing for Christmas? And it is not the same thing because we forget the true meaning of Christmas. It's not just to be nice to people. The true meaning of Christmas is to welcome Christ more deeply into your life. We want to celebrate Christ. And yes, we do that by buying presents, by being nice to people, but we can't forget to keep the Lord in the equation. He's the big part of it. As the old saying goes, Jesus is the reason for the season. We don't want to go about our Christmas celebrations, even if they're good, even if they're family-oriented, that's fine. We don't want to do them without involving the Lord. It's all about him. So make that commitment now. If I can do it, you can do it too. Let's make that commitment to be here Advent every night to the best of our ability. Of course, there's always exceptions. So we can do that together, do this Advent retreat. Because time is running out. You are a day closer to your death today than you were yesterday. I mean, that's not anything new. You know that. But I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that fact. You're not getting any younger, as they say. Boy, I'm just full of cheerful sentiments tonight, huh? But it's important that you know this, especially as we get ready to celebrate Advent. All right, now that I got you all riled up, by the way, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's open The Imitation of Christ. If you don't have a copy, that's fine. I read it on the air. So this is a book by Thomas A. Kempis, an excellent book, a classic. I've been reading it on the show for years now. We're going to talk tonight about the peaceful person. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Don't you want to be a peaceful person? Well, let's hear what Thomas A. Kempis has to say about the peaceful person. You must first have peace in your own soul before you can make peace between other people. Peaceable people accomplish more good than learned people do. Those who are passionate often can turn good into evil and readily believe the worst. But those who are honest and peaceful turn all things to good and are suspicious of no one. The discontented are easily troubled. They never know a quiet moment, nor will they leave others at rest. Many times they say the wrong thing and miss the chance of doing good. They are great for saying what others should do, but neglect their own duties. Begin by looking to your soul, and then you will be better able to have zeal for your neighbor. So really, what this writer is telling us is to look internally, to look inside of ourselves, and work on the problem areas of our own life before we go out and try to help others. It's necessary. You are always ready and able to excuse yourself, putting the best possible construction on your own actions, but you refuse to listen to the excuses of others. The charitable way is to accuse yourself and to excuse your neighbor. If you want others to bear with you, then you must bear with them. Look at yourself and see how far you are from real charity and humility, which cannot be resentful against anyone but oneself. It is no test of virtue to be on good terms with easygoing people, for they are always well-liked. And of course, all of us want to live in peace and prefer those who agree with us. But the real test of virtue and deserving of praise is to live at peace with the perverse or the aggressive and those who contradict us. For this needs a great grace. And you know, that's a really true statement. It's easy to be nice to people who are nice to us. It's easy to love those who are lovable. But it's not so easy to love those who are not lovable, those who don't love us back, those who are nasty. But that's where the virtue comes in, and that's where the Lord can give us the grace. And that's where the peace also comes in. We need to be peaceful, not just within ourselves, but in our dealings with other people. Okay, finally, back to the book. There are some contented people who can live peaceably with others, and some there are can neither have peace themselves nor leave others in peace. They are a cross to others, but a heavier cross to themselves. There are also some who can remain at peace among themselves, or remain at peace themselves, and seek to establish peace among others. However, in this mortal life, our peace consists in the humble bearing of suffering and contradictions, not in being free of them, for we cannot live in this world without adversity. Those who can best suffer will enjoy the most peace, for such persons are masters of themselves, lords of the world, with Christ for their friend and heaven as their reward. It's a very tough thing to accept suffering and still remain peaceful. It's not easy, because there's always something that will take away our joy if we let it. Doesn't have to. It really depends upon us. Bad weather, too cold, too hot, tiredness, maybe somebody telling us a boring story, standing in line at the grocery store, the line's too long, traffic jams, illness, minor illness, serious illness. All of these things can rob us of our peace if we let them. And that "if we let them" is a big condition. If you are not peaceful, and you blame it on your problems, it's not because of your problems that you're not peaceful. It's because of the fact that you are letting your problems get the best of you. And listen, I get this. I know that it's not easy. But I'm just giving you the ideal. This is the goal that we should all be shooting for. I'm not there. I'm working on it. So don't think that I have this mastered, because I don't. Anything that happens to us comes from God. He's God. He's Almighty. If something happens in your life that's unpleasant, He let it happen. Now, if He let it happen, He's somehow going to bring good out of it. He's letting it happen because He loves you. Learning to accept those things that are unpleasant is the secret to happiness, because that's not easy. So what you need to do is pray for the grace to be able to accept those things that happen in your life that are unpleasant. And in doing so, you will have great peace. All right, I'm out of time now. Tomorrow on the program, we'll focus on the great book, My Daily Bread. So I hope you can come by for a dose of your daily bread tomorrow night. God willing, I plan to be here, and I hope you can as well. Until then, God bless you, and thanks for listening.